Hi there, this is Prague Talk, a podcast from Radio Prague International. My name is Ian Willoughby. My guest this time is Pavla Niklova, the director of the Jewish Museum in Prague, one of the oldest institutions of its kind in the world. Pavla has been in charge for about a year and a half and has a simply amazing office right on the edge of the city's Jewish quarter. And when we spoke there, the conversation took in everything from her own background to whether the museum has been much impacted by the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So this is me talking to Pavla Niklova for this edition of Prague Talk. My first question is, what's your background, Pavla? What kind of family do you come from? That kind of thing.
I come from a Czech family. My father was born in Brno and my mother was born in a little town in eastern Bohemia, and probably we would come to this anyway. My grandfather was Jewish and he spent the war in London, and then he came back to be again with my grandma and with my father. And my grandmother was put in prison and in one of those working camps near Brno during the war, but thank God all of them survived. And my family, my grandparents or my parents, nobody was religious. So when I started working at the Jewish Museum for the first time, which was in 2004, a new world opened in front of me, and then I started exploring a new journey.
You studied Czech and English. How did you get into your field, which was or is arts management?
So yes, I studied Czech and English literature and teaching and language. And I started teaching in 1990. I started teaching at the Czech Technical University. I taught incredible number of classes per day because everybody wanted to learn English. And it was a great experience. But then I was offered a job at a new, it was called Soros Center for Contemporary Arts. And I believe it was because I spoke English that I was offered that job. And so I got to arts management because of that, and I stayed, and it's been a great life and great career because of English, basically.
And you also spent time in London around that time, I read?
Yes. So I couldn't travel before 1989, and when they opened the borders, I traveled to London, I think it was 1992, and stayed with a friend for 6 months and met a lot of people and did weird jobs. And it was a great time, and I loved the city. And I always wanted to live and work for some time in London and New York, and I managed to do it. And now I have two kids. My daughter lives in London and my son lives in New York. So I'm really happy for them. They are kind of living my dream. Although now they are a little bit too far, so you always, you know, you wish for something and then it comes true, and that's it.
I first met you in New York, I think, about 6 or 7 years ago. What led you to the city?
So I applied to be the director of the Czech Center New York, which is a Czech governmental agency promoting Czech arts and culture. Oh, it was a dream job at that time, that you can pick up the best of Czech arts and present it to New York audiences. Of course, it's not an easy job because in New York, like, hundreds of things are happening every night. So you have to compete for audience every night. But it was a great time, and I met great Czech artists. I met Jiří Bělohlávek, who came to perform with Prague Philharmonic Orchestra, or Jiří Mencel, or Magor. It was his last visit to the United States. So English and arts brought me to New York.
When you were there at the Czech Center, was the Bohemian National Hall already renovated?
Yes. I started in spring of 2010, and the building was reopened, I believe, 2008 or 9, something like that.
When we spoke at the Bohemian National Hall in 2018, you were the head of the Václav Havel Library Foundation, now called the Václav Havel Center. Did you have some connection with Havel?
Not directly. I met him a few times when I was at the Soros Center and we were giving some paintings to one of the halls at the military hospital where he unfortunately had to spend some time. So that was one occasion. And then during the performance of Leaving at the Arca Theater. Oh, and here, that was a wonderful occasion. Miloš Pojar, at that time, he was running a series of conversations called Conversations About Judaism. And Václav Havel was closing the series. And it was here at the Spanish Synagogue. So the synagogue was, of course, packed. And we were waiting for Havel in front of the place. And he arrived. He got out. That was when he wasn't president anymore. So he was relaxed and he was like, so what is tonight about? And Miloš Pojar was telling him, well, it's about Judaism. And he went pale and he said, I don't know anything about it. And so Miloš said, okay, let's go for a beer. Let's have a small beer. And so it was a wonderful conversation. So that's how I knew Václav Havel personally.
One thing I'm curious about with anybody who has been away from Prague for a long time, especially if they're in some exciting place like New York, how is it coming back here after, I don't know, 15 years or so?
My mother lives here, my brother lives here, and so me and my kids, we used to come here every year at least once, so I didn't lose connection. And I worked at the Jewish Museum before, so I knew what I was getting into. But of course, I miss some things. I miss, like, one thing. I miss the ocean. I really got used to the fresh air the ocean brings and some other things.
You took the position here after Leo Pavlat, who was the director of the museum for, I don't know, about 30 years. He was the first, I guess, modern era director. How is it taking over after somebody who has really kind of created the position in many ways?
So I know Leo Pavlat. He was my boss for 5 years. I learned a lot from him, and I really respect him for many things that he's done with the museum and the way he was running it. On the other hand, I think that 30 years is a long time, and that every institution deserves or probably needs a slight change. And so in some ways it is difficult, but in some ways it feels natural. I think both for the institution and for people who work here or for broader community to start exploring new possibilities and new directions that the museum can take. So it hasn't been that hard.
We met recently at an event and you were telling me that this is one of the oldest Jewish museums in the world or in Europe. When was it set up and why was it set up?
So we are the third oldest Jewish museum in the world. We were established in 1906 after Vienna in New York. And it was established during the time of big renovation, reconstruction of Josefov. Basically, you would say gentrification using a current term. And it was established to preserve some of the buildings, synagogues, and some of the objects from these synagogues. So that was the original aim. And with that aim, the museum continued till the Second World War, when the history took over. And basically what happened was that the museum became the central place where objects from abandoned synagogues, from Czech lands gathered, and also from some Jewish homes.
Was it the case that some families brought their belongings here with the idea that they would be held in safekeeping?
Probably you can say that, or maybe it was even because there was a huge number of small, different size Jewish communities around Czechoslovakia. So everything was brought here to Prague, of course, with the aim, or at least it was run by the Prague Jewish community. And they always had in mind that, okay, we will take care of these things so that people can take them back when they return after the war. The Germans had other plans, so it never happened. But there was a team of dedicated curators, historians who worked here during the war, who did their best to catalog these things, to prepare two exhibitions. So it was a heroic time. And thanks to that, we have a very unique collection because it mainly contains objects from this area, from Bohemia and Moravia. And it's a huge responsibility to take care of all these objects.
And do you have a lot of items today that were acquired, for want of a better word, at that time?
Yes, we do. But we have a policy that if there are people who were previous owners or children or grandchildren, we are very transparent. We started that in the 1990s, so people can, they have to prove that they are relatives, and then the items are given back to them.
Who are your visitors here? I presume they're almost all foreigners or visitors, tourists?
Not only. We have a lot of tourists, mainly foreigners, but we'd like to change that. We will promote the museum with Czech audiences as well. We believe we are accessible. We will start new guided tours and try to invite more Czech people. On the other hand, we have a huge educational program. Many schools from the whole country visit us. So it happens to us, for example, when we look for a new person for a new position, that people come and I ask them, well, have you been to the Jewish Museum? And they say, yes, when I was a teenager at high school, we visited the museum. So that's not enough if they didn't see it before the interview, but that's what many people say.
Is it getting harder to teach about the Holocaust with every passing decade? Because I was thinking about it on my way here, like in 15 years from now, it'll be a century since the Holocaust began.
Of course, but we are trying to come up with new ideas. We have a big Shoah department and we have interviews. We have oral history projects, testimonies from Holocaust survivors, but also from second generation. So that's one way to go, to speak with people whose parents or grandparents were killed or were Holocaust survivors. That's one way. And then we just have to be creative. And many, we offer about 10 different workshops or seminars for kids from primary to high school. And we also can design a special seminar and tour if there's a school who's interested in that. So we hope to use, for example, cells or, you know, different apps to get kids involved in something that otherwise they wouldn't probably be interested in or wouldn't like to listen to. But we have great teachers and I believe we're still on a track to keep the memory alive and accessible. It has to be specially adapted so that kids can remember something and can understand. But that's one of our priorities, to keep doing that.
You're also planning a big exhibition at the National Museum.
Right. Next year, 2026, is going to be a big year for the Jewish Museum because we will celebrate already 120 years. And so we were offered to have an exhibition for this occasion at the historical building of the National Museum on the Wenceslas Square. So the exhibition will be about the history of the museum, but we hope to present objects that haven't been exhibited at all or that much. We already started restoring some of big Torah curtains, some textiles, and we are excited about this opportunity. It's a, I feel it as a symbolic representation to that we will become part of the National Museum.
Tensions have been high since the October the 7th attacks and the bombardment of Gaza. And I'm curious if those tensions cause any kind of consequences for your institution.
So we were very worried, and two things happened. It was October 7, but also the shooting at the Faculty of Arts, which is our neighbor. We had to put down 500 tourists on lockdown. So we are increasing our security. We were also worried that the number of our visitors would go down. It didn't happen. We are very grateful and we are lucky. Of course, the security is something that is special with the Jewish Museum. You don't get that level with any other museum in the Czech Republic. But we have very good our own security. They are a professional team. They are our employees. We have very good relations, connections with Czech police. So we are also very grateful for that. When somebody leaves a suspect flask with tea or something, they come and take it away and check it. And in other museums, people would just throw it away. We can't do that. But I must say that from the first moment when it happened, we realized that we luckily live in a society that is open. The Jewish Museum is a Czech cultural Jewish institution, and people keep coming and supporting us in this way.
But have there been any kind of expressions of pro-Palestinian feeling that have impacted on you guys?
Not that much. We even have the luxury that we posted photographs of the hostages on the wall of the old Jewish cemetery outside, not inside. They've been there basically since November 23, and somebody vandalized them. I could count it on fingers on one hand, four times, five times, something like that. And otherwise they are there and people gather there, people discuss, people put their own notes there, so it became like a discussion platform. And really, I think we are the only Jewish museum in the world that can afford this. I think any other place in the world, it would be a constant battle of taking them down and putting the photos back. So we've been lucky and we are grateful. And we are, of course, open to discussions about hard topics.
I understand that when you began here, you created a five-year mission statement. What's in your mission statement?
Okay, well, we created a mission for the first time, and then we created a strategic plan for 5 years. The mission is, briefly, is we are here to care about the history, to give the voice to generations that were silenced, and to be an open space for discussions and to create new history.
Many thanks indeed for that interview to Pavla Niklova, director of the Jewish Museum in Prague, who I spoke to in January 2024 for Prague Talk, a podcast from Radio Prague International. If you're new to the pod and enjoyed this conversation, there are around 120 earlier episodes available for your listening pleasure. So why not check out a few of them and subscribe wherever you get podcasts. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, thank you so much indeed for listening to Prague Talk, and talk to you again very soon.